Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, let's bring in Dallas Cowboys beat reporter for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and man who I wasted 5 minutes of his time by running the previous segment long. It is Nick Harris. Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, no worries. I had shot Corey a text. I was like, hey, we're still good, right? We're still good? But no, I appreciate you fellas.
Kevin went very long with
a bit of
rant.
A thing. Yeah.
Hey, sometimes you got to do it. I understand it.
Now, who do you think the Cowboys are going to trade today to get 2 first-round picks, much like the Sauce Gardner deal? What can we do to make that happen?
Yeah, right. I think Benjamin Solak from ESPN put it perfectly on Twitter. He's like, I don't think it's an insane overpay for Sauce Gardner to be worth 2 first-round picks. But I think if you look at it in the context of the Micah Parsons trade, then maybe it's an insane underpay for Micah Parsons to only be worth 2 first-round picks. So, yeah, that was a wild one. That's a blockbuster here. That was a name I did not even hear tossed around in the slightest. You know, if I thought a big star was going to get moved out of New York, I thought it would have been Garrett Wilson before Sauce Gardner.
Now, I hope this is okay to say. Sometimes Jerry just says things to say them, but do you think there is still the possibility of 1 or 2 moves in the next 2.5 hours, give or take, for the Cowboys?
Yeah, possibility, absolutely. Yeah, this team is doing a lot to try to find some help around the edge. Edge is a big priority here at the deadline for them to find an impact player, whatever that looks like. But this team is also not trying to spend premium draft capital on these edges. And they shouldn't. You know, we've talked about it as far as, you know, this team is 3-5-1. They have no business trading for an expiring contract. And if they are trading for a player, again, they need to have years left on their deal. And it doesn't really need to be that expensive. You know, how much can you get out of a guy if you're spending a second-round pick or a third-round pick? You know, it's not really going to prove fruitful this year, right? So unless it's a guy like Quinnen Williams, who I'm a big fan of, since apparently the Jets are doing an estate sale, I don't see a worth in spending premium draft capital right now.
What would that look like to you in terms of premium draft capital to make Quinnen Williams happen?
I think it would be at least 1 first-round pick, especially given what the Jets just asked for Sauce Gardner. I mean, there's a deadline tax. You know, I think teams overpay around this time of the year in general. I think it would start with a 1st-round pick, and then you'd probably have to throw in a 5th-round pick. And, hey, there's this former 1st-round pick on the roster named Mozzie Smith that I think they would love to have, right?
What is the value of him, I guess? And also, does Jerry know that Mozzie Smith is in his 3rd year when he says Tom Landry said wait for 3 years?
Wait for 3 complete years.
Oh.
You gotta wait for 3 complete years. That's what. No, I'm with you there. I mean, this team, it's very obvious how they feel about Mozzie Smith. I mean, not only being inactive last night, but inactive for I believe 4 other contests so far this season. I mean, it's pretty clear where the direction is heading for Mozzie Smith. And if there is a team out there that just really loved him coming out, that thinks they can, you know, bring him back to what he was when he was coming out, then maybe they are able to get something for him. But I think even at that juncture, we're looking at a 6th-7th-round pick. I don't think it would be anything premium to get Mozzie Smith.
I would make that deal in a heartbeat.
Oh, absolutely. I think if you could get a bag of Lay's potato chips, I think that's worth it now for Mozzie Smith.
We have a whole bunch of bags of Lay's potato chips sitting over here on the table in the conference room. Whoa. So I think we can swing that right now if we want to.
Is there – okay, first of all, I'm thinking about that trade now. But also, was there one particular, I don't know, facet or play that stood out to you as particularly egregious yesterday? Because, man, it felt like outside of special teams, and even there was one, there were so many letdown plays and drives and everything.
Yeah, you know, I point more at the offense yesterday. I think yesterday, even with the Denver performance last week, I thought yesterday was the worst performance from the offense. And if we look at it over the course of the last 2 weeks, the first team offense is averaging just 13.5 points per game. Like, that has to be something that's figured out going into the bye week. But specifically the red zone stuff. I mean, the red zone stuff was bad yesterday. The two fourth downs that they could not convert. The last one where the ball was left a little too high up in the air for a little too long for CeeDee Lamb, and it was just a tough to be able to get back to that ball before it was broken up. And I just thought there were some inefficiencies on late downs on both sides of the ball, not only on offense, but you talk about the third down defense. That first drive where Arizona drives down the field and they convert on 4 of 5 third downs, and then they get another third down conversion by way of penalty. I mean, you can't let that happen on late down situations. I really thought the Cowboys played well on first and second down yesterday on both sides of the ball. It's just when those third downs crept around, it felt like Arizona won about 90% of those opportunities.
Yeah, and it felt like Shotty was talking about the work they did on second and third down most of the week was because they had lacked in that area, and that was a very important area. So I was kind of surprised that third down was such a struggle for them. The battle with Deron Bland and Marvin Harrison Jr. yesterday wasn't a fun one to watch. Is that Bland? Is that what he is, or was this just a good matchup for Harrison?
Yeah, I thought it was just a really good matchup for Harrison. You know, I think back to that Seattle game in 2023 where DK Metcalf walked in on a Thursday night and had his way with Deron Bland, and that was amidst his first team All-Pro season with all those pick sixes and leading the NFL in interceptions. But, you know, I think when it comes to Deron Bland being a cover corner and being able to match up with a guy one-on-one, I think he's relatively average. I think his value really comes into play when you're able to take advantage of his takeaway ability and get his hands involved with the game. And we saw that against Washington when they played more man coverage and it allowed him to be a little bit more handsy with guys. I like him a little bit more in the slot because he could step up and make some tackles in the backfield. I think he's one of the more sure tacklers on this team when you can catch him in open space. But, you know, as a pure cover corner, I don't think it's his strongest of abilities, and I don't think anyone would tell you that. And even when they paid him, I don't think anybody would tell you that. I think they paid him because they like the game-changing ability that he does bring at times. And we saw it against Washington, but you definitely want to see it more from Deron Bland, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
I haven't asked this all year, and I hope to never, ever have to ask it again. Were you a little tiny bit disappointed by Brandon Aubrey's field goal attempt from 68 yards?
Yeah, that was tough, right? And I feel like, the crowd really got loud before that kick. And
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon always says the crowd helps him, but then they kind of had to rush the snap too. They got out there late, and I honestly didn't think they got the snap off. The officiating crew was kind of all over the place in multiple areas yesterday, but that one they definitely missed. They got that snap off about a second and a half after the zeros were already on the clock, and I think that maybe rush the process or put things in the mind of Brandon a little bit too much too. So we didn't get the chance to talk to him about it after the game, but yeah, once he pushed it left, it kind of proved that it looked like it may have been a rush process. But man, if he straightened that out and was able to get it through, that was going in. It certainly had the distance.
Yeah. I claim that he didn't want to share the record. He wanted to own it.
So he was going for delay
game.
Yeah,
he was like 68. Nobody wants 68 yards. He wants 70. Or somewhere between somewhere between 68 and 70, whatever that number is. Mm. The other thing though is Logan Wilson, the trade that has happened, can we kind of, people have been asking about him and Kenneth Murray, and they're like, isn't that essentially the same player? Do you have a different feeling there?
No, it's not the same player. I think Logan Wilson gives you more from a read and react and instinct standpoint in that second level. And, you know, I think he's going to immediately compete for Kenneth Murray's starting job. And I wonder how the Cowboys juggle that, especially with DeMarvian Overshown coming back. Shamar James has played really well over the course of the last few weeks. He hasn't been perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he's a rookie that's worth keeping on the field to get playing time this season and develop for the future. Because, you know, I do believe that, that there's a really good reality where next season they roll out a starting trio of Logan Wilson, DeMarvian Overshown, and Shamar James. And, you know, they want those guys to have experience together. But as far as Logan Wilson goes, a tackling machine, he understands how to, you know, fill gaps. He's not perfect. And Barrett Carter, the rookie out of Clemson, ended up taking some of his snaps in Cincinnati this year. And again, that's coming from a defense that's somehow worse than the Cowboys this season.
Right.
So I think the expectations definitely need to be at a certain level. I don't think you're getting this world beater or a Leighton Vander Esch that I think Jerry Jones was trying to say on your airways this morning. But I think you're going to get at least a competent level of linebacker play, and that's already better than I think what you're getting in that spot right now.
I don't disagree with that either. Do you think Logan Wilson's tackling ability has degraded a bit over the last maybe season and a half?
You know, I would have to do more digging on that. Okay. I couldn't give you a straight answer there on that one just yet. But, you know, I was kind of fishing around over the course of the last week about what kind of guy Logan Wilson has been in that locker room, even despite, you know, losing his starting job. And, you know, other than the, you know, the trade request, which is certainly pretty public, everything behind the scenes has been, you know, pretty even kiltered. So, you know, it's still a guy that's showing up every day. So, you know, I was curious about that whenever he had requested the trade. It's like, okay, is he, you know, kind of pissing and moaning as far as everything behind the scenes, or is he still showing up? And he was still showing up every day, which I think is good character.
The safety position, is that still a pretty desperate need? Because it seems like we're just trying to find people to play safety at the moment.
Hey, man, you can name any defensive position, and I'll probably say yes right now. As far as the safety spot, for sure. I think if there's an opportunity, you know, Mika Fitzpatrick is a name that's getting thrown around here late before the deadline. I would caution against, you know, spending premium draft capital and taking on that tax, you know, here at the deadline. But if there's an opportunity there, I think that's worth the swing, especially with a couple of years left on his deal. But with Mika Fitzpatrick, I think that would be able to solve a lot of issues that you have on the back end as far as communication goes. But unless there's a trade for a world beater there at safety, I think that's one you can rebuild through the draft at a much cheaper rate.
Does premium draft capital for you start in the third round? So is it like first, second, and third? Is that where you consider that one of the first 2 days?
Yeah, and I would maybe sneak in the fourth round there too, just because we've seen how valuable that fourth round pick has been without the Trey Lance pick and the Jonathan Mingo pick last couple of years, and the level of talent that was still available at those picks when the draft came around. So I would sneak in the fourth round as well.
Have you heard anything about Dante Fowler? Like, I know he went back in the game, then had a monster sack, of which I thought he was celebrating, but then he was also in pain because I know he bounced in and out. How's he feeling after the game? Did you hear anything there?
I did not, but credit to him for still sticking with the celebration through the pain. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Because he did the bow, and I thought he was hurt, and then I was like, oh, he's just doing a celebration. Then he came right back up, and it was like, oh, no, he actually is hurt.
Yeah, he's dealing with an elbow issue, and it kind of re-aggravated whenever he hit the ground after sacking Jacoby Brissett. Okay. So, we'll see what the results tell us today. We should know more at 3:45 from Brian Schottenheimer.
How agitating was it that he seemed like he kind of hurt himself, too, when he was definitely getting his face mask pulled on, and they didn't call a penalty on, I think, that first third down that the Cardinals converted?
Yeah, that's tough, especially when it feels like your edge room was finally coming alive last night with not only Fowler, but Azaraku and Clowney. And you definitely want those guys to stay healthy if that's kind of the production they can give you. 5 sacks yesterday from the pressure group. But overall, yeah, you hope Fowler is ready to go after the bye week.
I know you don't have the most practice times in the world on the bye week, or I guess after the bye week, but do we have a right tackle, left tackle competition. I know Terrence Steele was dealing with a migraine, but also he has not been playing particularly well. Same thing with Guyton. We saw that early in the game on fourth down. Is Nate Thomas now part of an actual competition between either one of those players?
I don't know if it's necessarily a competition. I wouldn't call it that, but I think it's a situation where both of those guys certainly need to be looking over their shoulders, because you could tell that this coaching staff is trying to find ways to get Nate Thomas snaps whenever they can. And, you know, yesterday that worked against Terrence Steele. And, you know, Nate Thomas was not particularly good last night. He ended up giving up 5 pressures in those snaps that he did play. I wonder how they juggle that. But I wouldn't call it a competition right now. I think it's more so a situation where it's like, okay, we feel comfortable about this guy being a swing tackle and potentially a starter at either of these spots moving forward. Let's try to get him some snaps in some areas that make sense. And, you know, we've seen this offense do that with some different offensive line positions so far this season, whether it be through injury or without injury. I wonder, that is definitely something I'm keeping an eye on moving forward, no doubt.
I know you had previously brought up Logan Wilson, so any other players that we need to keep an eye out on for the next 2 hours and 19 minutes?
Yeah, I think Bradley Chubb is a name that I continue to hear quite a bit, and as well as Tyree Wilson. That's a name that has continued to pick up buzz heading into the deadline. But, it's active time right now. This team is definitely searching for an edge. Those are two names. You know, personally, I would have liked Jordan Brooks, the linebacker out of Miami, a little bit more than Logan Wilson. But I understand if you can get Wilson for just a 7th round pick, that's worth taking a stab at. Absolutely.
Now I want to go over to Corey real quick and see if he wants to tell you his possible nickname for Bradley Chubb.
No, I'm good there. But I think we're all big Chubb guys, so I think that's something that we'll all be okay with.
That's almost as bad as one the beat had last week, Calvin Watkins. I got to give him credit for it. So Triquez Bridges, he had the interception last week against the Broncos, and he's like, "A try called Quez," and I was like, "It's so bad that it's good." You know,
I like it.
I'm a fan.
I'm not gonna lie. I like that. Well, thank you very much for the insight and time, as always, good sir.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate you always.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.